The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach Mark Trestman, the coaching staff, and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by Bridgestone, Miller Lite, and North Shore University Health System. Now, from Palace Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And good evening, Bears fans. Opening week, not the way the Bears hope to finish. Beaten by the Buffalo Bills, and three turnovers, the big reason why the Bills turning it out to 13 points in an overtime win yesterday at Soldier Field. Welcome into the Bears Coaches Show here in the Chicago Bears Network studios at Halas Hall. Head coach Mark Trestman here with Jeff Joniak here until 7:30 tonight. After 7 o'clock, though, we'll be joined by first-year linebackers coach Reggie Herring. He'll join us. So, Mark, good evening. A key word, I think, for the day. Let me rephrase that. Keyword last night and maybe a little bit of the day was disappointment. You heard it over and over again today. I know you guys are on to week two, but that'd be the best way to sum up at least the loss.
Yeah, it would. We're disappointed not only internally here. We're disappointed for our fans. They had high expectations for a clean game yesterday and a game that we had an opportunity to win, and we didn't get it done. And no excuses here. We did a lot of positive things, but certainly not good enough to win.
Many plays in a football game. Some turn the tempo. Some decide the outcome. You mentioned six plays. You mentioned six plays in the game that you could really look at as key ones.
Well, certainly the three turnovers. We turned the ball over on the 27-yard line. We turned the ball over on their side, the 50, which was an opportunity to get points, and then we turned it over going in again on the last interception. So a lot of scoring opportunities taken away. They turned our turnovers into 13 points. We got one. We turned it into 7. And then you've got three explosive runs on the other side of it. You can really look at that. We had, virtually no penalties on special teams, a clean special teams game for a young guy, no penalties defensively. A clean game and a really a sure tackling game, but we got to clean up the three big ones because it cost us.
And that last interception, Jay's interception on third one, that's drawn most of the conversation. Much has been written, much has been said about it, much has been trying to figure it out. You were asked many questions about it today. There's only so much you can say about it. Jay has admitted it was a bad decision. He should have eaten the football, thrown it away, run, do whatever, but not that.
Yeah, I mean, he said it all, and we all agree, and, we feel bad because everybody's looking at that one play and saying it was a difference-making play, and it certainly was, but there were a lot of plays in the game as well that could have been done better and taken us out of that one play look, but it is what it is, and at the end of the day, Jay stood up, and he said, I've got to make better decisions, and we didn't get it done.
From a curiosity standpoint only, as I look back at that play just moments ago, just seeing what else could have been done by receivers trying to get open, maybe further down the field, whatnot, what else could have been done other than what we've already discussed?
Well, there was a couple of misinterpretations of the play. We had, one player blocking. We got to get across the formation. But at the end of the day, there's nothing wrong with throwing the ball away, and Jay knows that. He accepted accountability to that with the team today, and we've got to move forward.
How would you describe the team's mood when you met them today?
I thought they were certainly still disappointed. It was quiet, yet we got a lot done in the meetings, and we have to accept responsibility for our failure to win yesterday, and I think our guys have done that. But on the other side, we've got to look at the positives and give them the reasons why things can be fixed and things can be better as we move along. And I think when they left the building today, they had a great sense that if we can clean up some of this, the things that we did yesterday, we got an opportunity to get better. And that's what we're going to try to do. Whether we won or lost yesterday, we've got to continue on a daily basis to get better. And I think they're determined to come back in on Wednesday and get that done.
You mentioned reasons, and if you're taking an exam, a quiz at school, if you find out you got something wrong, you'd love to know why. And so reasons, that's a good place to start. What are some of the reasons that it can be corrected?
Well, I think that the mistakes that we made in terms of the three explosive runs can be corrected by being assignment right. And we lost position in assignments on a couple of occasions that really hurt the play. And then certainly offensively, turning the ball over is turning the ball over. Brandon was the first guy to say today, I got to take care of the football. Brandon made a heck of a catch, at the 30-yard line, turned and tried to run and didn't wrap up the ball and got it blindsided and knocked out and took a scoring opportunity away. And when, every time we take a scoring opportunity away, we give the ball back to the defense. What we want to do is hang on to the ball as long as we can. We did a good job of that in a number of ways, but we didn't get it done. The two interceptions, the same thing. When we take our offense off the field, we put our defense on and expose them to more plays.
Doug Coletti, our statistician in the radio broadcast, said that was the first fumble as a Bear for Brandon Marshall, and only the sixth of his career.
Yeah,
so it's not something that happens.
No, he's as secure with the football as anybody on our team, and he's really the guy who really does a great job in practice of setting example for everybody else, so it's a shame it had to come down to that.
The crazy thing, you look at numbers, and sometimes those do lie. 29 first downs, though. They don't lie about the production moving up and down the field, even with the injuries that occurred and not having Brandon 100 and losing Alshon for a big chunk of the second half. That's pretty impressive.
You know, the guys are excited about our offense. We know we've got good talent. We've got good players that have worked very, very hard. That's what makes yesterday so disappointing. You know, two or three plays really take away from what could have been an elite performance by our offense, and we didn't get it done.
You made mention of the third down reel. And what would fans gain from understanding what that meant? Because I know you mentioned many times you've researched other teams' offenses over the course of the offseason. See what everybody's doing. Is that part of that reel?
Oh, sure it is.
And the reel is just highlights of what other teams are doing.
Yeah, we go through all the teams in the league. We look at what they're doing on third down and in all situations, and get a sense for where we are and what we can do better. And we did that in the offseason. And 42% would be in the upper end of the league in terms of third down conversions, and yet we had two of our third and ones we didn't convert, and we get those two. There were a couple others that we had an opportunity to convert. We could have been very high and continue to move drives, but at the end of the day, when you turn the ball over on three drives, you take away opportunities to make first downs and convert on third down.
Any update on the injury situation you can share with us at this time?
It really is still fluid. Yet we'll know a lot more tomorrow in terms of exactly where guys are in all this. We've got some guys healing up. We've got some guys that will take a little bit longer, and we'll know a lot more tomorrow.
Can you at least rule out long-term injuries?
Right now, I'm really not sure.
Very good.
Okay.
We will talk about Michael Ola and how he played at left guard and Brian DeLaPuente as well at center, as they really helped out in that second half. Some great coaching done by Pat Meyer and Aaron Cromer to get him ready. And hopefully Alshon Jeffrey's okay, limited to 37 snaps yesterday. We'll tackle all that with Mark Trestman here in our first few minutes of the Bears Coaches Show. Coming up a bit later on, we'll talk with linebackers coach Reggie Herring. That's a guaranteed chuckle as well, because he is an entertaining man who spent 30 years in coaching in the NFL and in college football. But first at 6:38, time for WBBM's Traffic and Weather together on the Gates.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Out of the shotgun, Jake takes, looking left, wide open, down to Seaman in the end zone. Touchdown, Martellus Bennett. Touchdown, Bears!
One of eight catches on the day for Martellus Bennett, a 12-yard touchdown throw from Jay Cutler in the first drive of the 2014 season as the Bears fall to the Bills yesterday at Soldier Field. The play of the week brought to you by McDonald's, proud partner of the Chicago Bears. Welcome back into the Coaches Show. Let's talk about Martellus Bennett. Targeted 10 times, caught 8 passes yesterday, 70 yards in that touchdown. I heard Jay's radio show today. Here's a quote for you. He's a very difficult cover right now. We got to use him more. He did, and there was another play where I, during the broadcast, mentioned how he was running away from Aaron Williams, who's not a slow safety by any means. He was running away after a perfectly thrown ball by Jay, where only he could get it to the sideline there. Just a beautiful, just gave him a chance to run away with that ball. And this goes back to training camp when I had a conversation. It was just Martellus and I talking about all the work he put in and how he feels lighter. He feels quicker. Did it translate on Sunday?
Oh, no doubt. Nobody works any harder than Martellus off the field and during the off season to get himself ready to play. And, you know, we spent a lot of time with Martellus working on his route running this off season. And Andy Bischoff and Martellus spent a lot of time together just trying to get better, get more refined in his route running. And it certainly showed up in the game.
How do you refine a route run?
Well, I think it's, we had a lot of tape on Martellus's routes last year. And Martellus came out of programs where there was more flexibility in the route running in terms of changing routes, and he was involved in systems where they threw the ball hot, and we don't work that way. We just come off the ball full speed and run, You know, now Martellus is in a position to do that, and I showed a little bit of that yesterday.
Yeah, it was terrific yesterday. Some really good stuff by Martellus Bennett. Four catches on 11 targeted throws to the three new guys. We're talking about Spurlock. We're talking about Josh Morgan and Santonio Holmes. Purely a function of knowledge in the scheme and reps with Jay, right?
Well, also, it's, who do we want to throw the ball to in those situations? I mean, we had the same situation last year with Earl Bennett. He had 30 targets, 30 catches for the year. So, you know, we've got those guys on the field. We've got to focus on them. They're the primaries. And there were some opportunities. We didn't get it done to those other guys. They'll continue to work into the lineup and get used to the system and so forth. But, you know, we've got our key guys, and then we're going to try to get the ball to them.
All right, let's talk about the O-line and the injuries that happened. Slauson looked like he stepped on Roberto Garza with his ankle injury, and Roberto got rolled up from behind on a sack by 51 Brandon Spikes. I mean, it was a pretty hard collision. Tried to gut it out for a couple snaps, but you put in Ola, and you put in De La Puente. De La Puente had 45 snaps. 33 of those were in pass pro. Outstanding job by those guys. You got to give a tip of the cap to those guys, but also the coaches.
Yeah, well, first of all, number one, we're very lucky that the injuries that both guys received probably won't be super long-term in terms of, you know, threatening. And we feel lucky that they're sprains and nothing more. Number two is Mike Olin, Brian De La Puente did just a heck of a job. You know, we really didn't give up a sack yesterday in terms of our protection. Jay got away a couple times, moved around and avoided it, and we had a couple coverage sacks. So our offensive line did a tremendous job. And then, you know, certainly credit to Pat Meyer and Aaron for the job that they do. And they never stop coaching these guys from the time they get here in the morning till they leave. And it certainly shows up. We're lucky to have Brian, certainly, a three-year starter, you know, with
Drew
Brees.
Right, he never missed a game.
Never missed a game, and it really showed up. He was solid inside. And for Mike Ola in his first year in the league to come in and play that length of time against, one of the best three techniques in the league is really says something about not only the coaching, but certainly, you know, the direction Mike can go in this game.
There was some overall awareness in the blitz pickup, too. Matt Forte, we'll talk about what he does, what we always expect him to do, and that is be one of the most versatile backs in the NFL, but he had some really saving pickups.
He really did. I mean, they had a nice scheme going. They brought the mic late. We couldn't get the line adjusted, and that's pretty normal with any line when the Mike linebacker hits late off the line of scrimmage, and Matt was outstanding in cutting guys down and picking people up. Just a complete game, running, catching, and pass protecting for Matt Forte.
And you guys had long fields. You averaged your own 19. They averaged a 33. That was benefited by those turnovers too. But own 19-yard line was on average. You had some deep fields to work with.
Yeah, Chris's interception gave us a shorter field. We got a touchdown out of that. And you know, we love long fields. They're okay offensively. We got to embrace them. We got to finish drives. We had opportunities and a number of occasions and came up short three times with turnovers, and then another time we got a field goal.
You mentioned a razor screen today. Explain that one.
Oh, it's just another term for a screen to right or left, a quick screen.
Like a bubble screen type?
A bubble screen
but
type
But you call
thing.
It a razor screen. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just throwing stuff out there for fans who might want to know what it means. And Jay talks about it. You talk about it, too, about the right look. And the right look could happen instantaneously, right? I mean, so the process of finding the right look for an offensive play, it's what Jay sees at the snap of the football or prior to the snap. I mean, can you explain that a little bit?
At first, you know, the game plan and how good it was executed is going to be lost in those three plays. We know that, and we've got to accept accountability for that. But, you know, Jay did just a tremendous job at the line of scrimmage in terms of getting our – you know, getting our guys in the right play at the right time, seeing the coverages, using the clock properly, handling the mic calls. There's a lot that goes into every single play, and that's why the numbers were so good. And we're not going to hide behind the numbers. We know we're here to win football games. That's what we're paid to do. But it's going to be it won't be seen as much. All those good things won't be seen because of obviously what happened in the game.
That's Mark Trestman. Jeff Joniak here at the Chicago Bears Network Studios. We'll take a look at San Francisco with head coach Trestman coming up after this check of traffic at 6:48.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Jay dips under center with one on the play clock. Play action, screen left. Caught Forte at the 42, running left into Bills territory to the 40, to the 35, and out of bounds. near the 30-yard line of Buffalo.
Matt Forte, the player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity, collecting 25 touches, 169 total yards. Matt Forte, a typical Matt Forte day here with Coach Trestman in our final segment before he has to get digging into San Francisco. But again, Matt Forte out of the backfield, as good a weapon as you can get, and nearly a touchdown as you sent him out to the slot. Was it the slot or the boundary? I matched up with a linebacker. I'll take that every day. I'll take my chances.
Yeah, Jay put one over the top. It was right there. I didn't ask Matt today whether he got his hand on it or not, or just armbarred him. But we had a chance to have a big play. Didn't get it done. But Matt, back to Matt again. I mean, just a solid, balanced day of protection, ball security, running the football. Had some good holes with the offensive line and perimeter blocking by our receivers, and then obviously catching the football on the screens and so forth.
All right, we touched on some of the runs, but overall 29 runs, got 2.9 yards a carry against your defense. There was a few long ones. Overall, did you like what you intended it to be for 2014, meaning physical, nasty disposition, arrive with some purpose, get to the ball, or as Stephen Pye likes to say, party at the ball? Did for the most part that happened?
Well, what happened offensively happened defensively. You know, our eyes are going to be taken off the ball because of three turnovers on the offensive side, and then our eyes are going to be taken off the ball because we didn't fit the run up on three explosive runs defensively. But when you look at the tape and you take those out, and that's no excuse. We got to do it consistently with every single run. We were a very physical team at the point of attack. We gang tackled our guys, threw their bodies around. Across the board, from Charles Tillman all the way across the board, guys gave it up. We didn't get it done. We got to fix the stuff. So you know, we can sit back here on a Monday night and say we did it consistently over 60 minutes. That's where we got ahead, and that's what we got to fix.
After looking at coach's tape, the stats show Ryan Mundy with 10 combined tackles, and he was very aggressive.
Solid game supporting the run. Was good against the pass, but very good at the line of scrimmage, fitting up the run as he came down from the safety position.
Willie Young. Only 21 snaps, but he had 7 tackles, 4 solos. He had a sack, of course, and he also had a tackle for loss.
Yeah, Willie did. You know, Willie was active in there. You know, he came in, as I've said many times, he came in. He was penciled in as a starter. Jared came in, and he's in a rotated spot now. He's done nothing but, you know, be a leader on and off the field with his demeanor, with his energy and passion, and it showed up on the field yesterday.
Jared Allen, just watching the tape at time, and most of the time he was chipped, sometimes doubled, sometimes hit 3 or 4 times on his way to try and get the quarterback or get the running back. It's what you expect, obviously, from a premier pass rusher. It should open doors for a lot of guys, though. Willie had his chances, of course, but also Lamar Houston had some pressures.
He sure did. He was active. We had him on the inside. He was pushing the pile as well, so a lot of good things happened there.
All right, Charles Tillman, as you mentioned, also 9 tackles yesterday. So.
And not just tackles, but I mean vicious tackles and throwing his body around, picking people off the pile and playing a very passionate football game.
We'll talk with Reggie Herring about this in our next period, but Shea McClellan and Jonathan Bostic also with a bunch of tackles.
Yeah, very active, both of them. I thought Shea really progressed when he was involved in the game and at the point of attack and not at the point of attack. He ran to the football and explosively tackled as well.
Got to play tough and physical in San Francisco, or in this case, Santa Clara at the new stadium. 49ers with the 28-17 win over Dallas. Colin Kaepernick and the read option is going to be there. It's going to be something you're going to have to defend. He completed a high percentage of passes yesterday. Their running game now with Carlos Hyde helping out Frank Gore. That's a lot on the table, plus a tight end. As difficult as any to defend in the NFL, and Vernon Davis.
You said it. Number one is we don't have to defend against 10. We got to defend against 11 because Kaepernick is such an explosive threat, even more than E.J. Manuel in some respects. And as you saw yesterday, 2 touchdowns, completed 70% of his passes. Dallas gave the ball away early in the game. They turned it over 3 times early in the first quarter. Turned into 21 points in the first quarter. And you know, can't play the game that way if you want to stay in it. And so we got our work cut out for us, certainly defensively, and then you flip it around and still one of the most physical defenses and well-coached defenses in football.
And you're going out early.
And we're going out early.
And the reason is?
We're going out early to get our body clocks right, and we spent a lot of time talking about it. It's not unusual for teams from the East to go out west early a day and get settled in, and we'll have morning meetings on Saturday morning. We'll get there Friday night, have morning meetings Saturday, get a little workout in. get out in the field and run around a little bit to loosen up, and then we'll have a normal Saturday. And it's a 5:30 Central game, 7:30 on the West Coast.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to it.
Bears and 49ers. Flip that around.
Exactly.
I should flip that around.
I didn't want to correct the head coach.
It's late, but
I could have heard something else for all I know.
I'm here to admit my mistakes. So.
All right. Well, go get them. It's going to be it'll be key this week to forget. And
you got to have amnesia.
That's the key.
I mean, tomorrow morning there's going to be six teams waking up that are 0-1, and everybody's got to go back to work on Wednesday. That's the deal. That's the National Football League. The disappointment's got to get over with. It's got to get over it, and it's got to fuel next week.
All right, Mark, good luck.
You bet.
That's Bears head coach Mark Trestman. Coming up next, we'll hear from Reggie Herring, the Bears linebackers coach. We're with you until 7:30 here on the Bears Coaches Show. Right now, time at 6:58 for WBBM's traffic and weather to get the 8.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman, and this hour featuring linebackers coach Reggie Herring, brought to you by McDonald's and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Walgreens, and Xfinity. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
He did a great job. I mean, you know, we were communicating, especially the second half. We got to go in there at halftime and communicate, you know, kind of catch him up on some of the lingo that Lawson and I have, and we go out there and you know, fight to do our thing.
That's earlier today here at Hallis Hall. Bears starting left tackle Jermon Bushrod on Micah Ola, and also Brian DeLaPuente filling in for the injured starters Matt Lawson and Roberto Garza, as the Bears try and move past this loss to the Buffalo Bills and dial in on the San Francisco 49ers. Welcome back to the Chicago Bears Network studios here at Hallis Hall. Pleased to welcome the first year Bears linebackers coach Reggie Herring, but the first year is not representative of this man's career. He has invested himself in football, some 30 years in the game. Welcome to the program. This is your first time, your maiden voyage with us, so hopefully you'll enjoy it. And your life has been football, though, hasn't it?
Pretty much so. Here we go.
Here we go, trying to shed a loss in week one. And how would you describe it, you know, from a coach's and assistant coach's perspective? We heard from Coach Trestman, obviously, and the key word is disappointment. But from you guys, who are with these guys in your individual rooms every single day, and what you guys go through to try and get wins. It's tough to get one, and these losses are sometimes very bitter.
Yeah, you know, in dealing with human emotions, right now we all feel like we've got a pit in our stomach that won't go away. It's one of these things that you have to deal with in this game. How quick you bounce back, how strong you are, mentally tough, and focused on the next opponent will depend in this league. This league will eat you up if you dwell on the past. Right now, that's what we've got to do. We've got to look at what we did right, and then look at what we did wrong, and correct it, and then get ready for San Francisco. Having said that, that's not an easy chore.
No, it's not. You know, and these afford you a teaching opportunity as well, right? These types of losses, from your perspective, how do you work that?
I don't think it's any doubt. From the naked eye, if every fan, I know they're all disappointed, if they were sitting in a film room with us, watching us go over this with the players, seeing the things that were right, and then seeing the things that we did wrong to create a couple of long runs, it was nothing that they were doing. It was self-inflicted. That even hurts worse, that we can get it corrected. We should have made the plays to win the game, and that's the eye-opening thing, is that we had a chance. We had three long breakaway runs where guys were unblocked and didn't get it done, and so it wasn't anything they were doing. It was self-inflicted. That's the encouraging thing when you're looking at something negative. That's what you do as coaches and players. Now, if it was something physically, we didn't have the guy to do it, that'd be one thing. At the end of the day, we'll learn from this, but we better learn quick, and we better buckle up fast, because when you talk about stopping the run, that's where it starts with Frisco, with an electrifying quarterback that is got great speed and option ability. At the end of the day, they're going to bring it, and we got to match it.
All right, we got to talk a little bit more in detail about that read option and how to defend it and how it challenges gap integrity. I think it kind of baits your instincts We'll leave it there. We got to hit a commercial break, but the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams, AA, and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Another check of WBBM's traffic and weather together in the eights.
The Bears Coaches Show with linebackers coach Reggie Herring and WBBM's Jeff Jodiak continues.
It can be some small as alignments or certain guys' motion. Where's the back offset to? It could be a number of things.
All right, he's looking at the read option. That's Willie Young, who has experience in this NFL. He knows exactly what is going to be facing the Bears when they meet the San Francisco 49ers on Sunday night at the brand-new facility in Santa Clara, California. You can get a $70 Bridgestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you buy four select Bridgestone tires, including the new DriveGuard tire, now through September 30th. Visit BridgestoneTire.com for details. With Bears linebackers coach Reggie Herring, let's talk about that. Does that particular thing, which almost every team's running it if they have that mobile quarterback, does it challenge gap integrity because your instincts are to go and you're baited by an opening and you go? You're not supposed to go, but does it bait your instincts a little bit? Is that some of the difficulty of this scheme?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. And it involves everybody, the discipline part of it. Yeah, you can't have anybody freelancing. Everybody has to work together. Everybody has a job, and then we got to overlap and help. That's the basic concept. It forces you to be simple on defense. You can't be distorted or out of place by trying to get too cute with movement. We saw that in the Dallas game where they tried some movement things that got them in trouble more than it helped them. And those are things that you have to be aware of when you face them. They can hurt you at any point with Gore, the quarterback, the play-action game with the tight ends, great speed down the field, and then they got excellent competitors at wideout, and they just have a great skill set. And then they've got a very physical, big offensive line. They run a scheme that will challenge you discipline-wise with the option and the movement. At the same time, they'll run dead at you with the power and have the ability to bounce outside. They've got players, and they're using their players to their maximum ability. And what they're doing is forcing you to defend the whole field and simplify. And the goal would be to get them in third and long and then have the ability to either pressure or cover and confuse him. So that's the whole issue, and that will be the issue. Can we get them in third and long and consistently? So that's our challenge for this week.
How do you find a guy to defend Vernon Davis? Unique speed at that position. Even his age now is creeping up there a little bit. He still can move. Still dangerous.
Well, there's no doubt, and we faced him when I was at Dallas and Houston. Houston, we played him about every year, it seemed like. But he's a tremendous vertical threat. The way to defend him is you have to make sure matchups are important. You really don't want a slow linebacker on the guy. And if not, you better be in zone with some kind of top-down coverage on him zone-wise. Great vertical stretcher, can catch the ball and get in the seam. So, but your zones will have to match him inside as well as the guys outside. They got a good skill set, so we'll have to defend the whole field. It's a tremendous challenge for anybody, and they got it going on. They got good players, and they're using them to the max of their ability. Their schemes are sound, and they're very physical.
Including the quarterback, because if you hit him, he can easily just bounce right off you.
Very much so. He's a very tall gazelle-type guy. His hips are about to your forehead. He's... You know, it's literally that way. It looks like a big deer running through there. So,
don't get in the way of a deer. Or no, you're going to have to get him down. When you were given the job and charged with the task of taking a defensive end who played some linebacker in college, how did you start the process with Shea McClellan, and how far has he come? Yesterday, 7 tackles, 4 solos.
Yeah, the deal with Shea was this from the beginning. Number one, you had to find out, did he have instincts? Then what kind of movement skills did he have out in space? After seeing that in OTAs, his reactionary and his movement skills, along with football instincts, I didn't see why he couldn't be a solid football player, linebacker in the NFL. He possesses all the intangibles. He's got the tool set. He's hungry. He's ambitious. He's smart. He understands. He can take coaching. I've been pretty tough on him since day one, and thank God he didn't talk much. Well, he just, when you get on him and you're demanding on him, thank God he doesn't reply. He just looks at you. So
do younger guys tend not to reply, and how do you balance that with a 12-year veteran in the room in Lance Briggs?
But that's what I meant by he's coachable. He's buying in. He listens. And if they'll listen, we've got a plan. Meet me halfway, and we'll get it done. And I think there is a process, you know, and as it goes, Coach Tucker, everybody on defense is watch him grow as a linebacker since we started in OTAs. He missed six tackles in preseason. Everybody was down. Well, can he tackle? At the end of the day, everything else he was doing was really pretty good. So we were kind of holding our tongue, you know, as we watched him. We knew the tackling would come. That's part of football. It's something he naturally does. He just had to learn feet and putting himself in the right position. It takes time and experience, but he seems to be getting it. He's not there yet, but the sky's the limit for him.
Listen to the next Bears All-Access Radio Show, brought to you by Sports Authority, Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR, 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. A few more minutes with Reggie Herring, the Bears linebackers coach, but first another check of WBBM's traffic and weather together in the eights.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach Mark Trestman continues exclusively on the home of the Bears, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
First down from midfield, sidestepping to the pocket, being chased by Willie Young, and down goes E.J. Manuel. Willie Young, welcome to Chicago, my friend. A sack for Willie Young.
Yeah, one of seven tackles on the day for Willie Young. Only 21 snaps as the Bears failed to get it done against the Buffalo Bills, but now turn the page on the San Francisco 49ers. Our remaining moments here on the Bears Coaches Show with Reggie Herring before we get a recap from our first half hour with Mark Trestman, looking back at what happened yesterday. Talk about John Bostic. He's got all the tools in the shed, doesn't he?
Yes, sir. John's an exciting young player. I obviously he got thrown into the fire last year and as a young player, and I think he struggled to some degree. From what I understand, the best thing I could do when I got here was not look backwards, look forward with the young man, and try to convince him that we've got a plan for the future for him here, and he needs to buy in and give it his all, and that's what he's done. Progressively has gotten better. People don't know that early in spring training and OTAs, we had him playing every position, Sam, Mike, and Will, as well as Mike and Will and Nickel. That's every position you play as a linebacker because we knew he was the most talented. He could handle it. It did slow his progress to some degree with all the thinking involved. We settled down, and when it got closer to the season, three weeks ago, we settled down and locked into him just playing one position. And, boy, you could see him just turning on and blossom. And very, very consistent ball game from him despite the loss. Some good, exciting things came from him. He had no missed tackles, missed assignments. He overlapped even on the long runs. He was the one chasing them down on both of them to make the tackle from backside. He was where he was supposed to be. He took charge and just really excited about the first game. If you're excited about anything, get excited about John's start. We didn't win the game, but he performed extremely well.
All right. Well, there's a lot to discuss. We're running out of time with you, though. We'd love to have you back sometime. You're one of the most entertaining coaches we've had out here. We hear you on the field. You're not shy.
It's a loud sport. That's why they wear all that gear.
That is Reggie Herring, one of a kind, a veteran coach. As we look at the loss yesterday, things to clean up for Mark Trestman.
You know, we're disappointed not only internally here, we're disappointed for our fans. They had high expectations for a clean game yesterday and a game that we had an opportunity to win, and we didn't get it done. And, you know, no excuses here. We did a lot of positive things, but certainly not good enough to win.
Many plays in a football game. Some turn the tempo. Some decide the outcome. You mentioned six plays. You mentioned six plays in the game that you could really look at as key ones.
Well, certainly the three turnovers. We turned the ball over on the 27-yard line. We turned the ball over on their side, the 50, which was an opportunity to get points, and then we turned it over going in again on the last interception. So a lot of scoring opportunities taken away. They turned our turnovers into 13 points. We got one. We turned it into seven. And then you've got three explosive runs on the other side of it. You can really look at that. We had, you know, virtually no penalties on special teams, a clean special teams game for a young guy, no penalties defensively. You know, a clean game and a really a sure tackling game, but we gotta clean up the three big ones because it cost us.
And that last interception, Jay's interception on third and one, that's drawn most of the conversation. Much has been written, much has been said about it, much has been trying to figure it out. You were asked many questions about it today. There's only so much you can say about it. Jay has admitted it was a bad decision. He should have eaten the football, thrown it away, run, do whatever, but not that.
Yeah, I mean, he said it all, and you know, we all agree, and, you know, we feel bad because everybody's looking at that one play and saying it was a difference-making play, and it certainly was, but there were a lot of plays in the game as well that could have been done better and taken us out of that one-play look, but it is what it is, and at the end of the day, Jay stood up, and he said, I've got to make better decisions, and we didn't get it done.
From a curiosity standpoint only, as I look back at that play just moments ago, just seeing what else could have been done by receivers trying to get open, maybe further down the field, whatnot, what else could have been done other than what we've already discussed?
Well, there was a couple of misinterpretations of the play. We had, you know, one player blocking. We got to get across the formation. But at the end of the day, you know, there's nothing wrong with throwing the ball away, and Jay knows that. He accepted accountability to that with the team today, and we've got to move forward.
How would you describe the team's mood when you met them today?
I thought they were certainly still disappointed. It was quiet, yet we got a lot done in the meetings, and you know, we have to accept responsibility for our failure to win yesterday, and I think our guys have done that. But on the other side, we've got to look at the positives and give them the reasons why things can be fixed and things can be better as we move along. And I think when they left the building today, they had a great sense that if we can clean up some of the things that we did yesterday, we got an opportunity to, you know, to get better. And that's what we're going to be trying to do. Whether we won or lost yesterday, we got to continue on a daily basis to get better. And I think they're determined to come back in on Wednesday and get that done.
You mentioned reasons, and if you're taking an exam, a quiz at school, if you find out you got something wrong, you'd love to know why. And so reasons, that's a good place to start. What are some of the reasons that it can be corrected?
Well, I think that the mistakes that we made in terms of the three explosive runs can be corrected by being assignment right. And we lost position in assignments on a couple of occasions that really hurt the play. And then certainly offensively, turning the ball over is turning the ball over. Brandon was the first guy to say today, I got to take care of the football. Brandon made a heck of a catch, you know, at the 30-yard line, turned and tried to run and didn't wrap up the ball and got it blindsided and knocked out and took a scoring opportunity away. And every time we take a scoring opportunity away, we get the ball back to the defense. What we want to do is hang on to the ball as long as we can. We did a good job of that in a number of ways, but we didn't get it done. The two interceptions, the same thing. When we take our offense off the field, we put our defense on and expose them to more plays.
That's Mark Kresterman as we wrapped up the Bears Coaches Show for another Monday night. And for Coach Trestman and linebacker coach Reggie Herring, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Bears Director of Broadcasting Greg Miller and producer Andy Gersher, our studio producer tonight, Lisa Fielding. Bears 49ers next Sunday night from Santa Clara, California. The Bears open up that new stadium for the regular season opener for the 49ers. Pre-game at 4, kickoff at 7:30. That'll wrap us up for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you on Sunday from Santa Clara. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Good night, everybody.